You're listening to The Alex Spicer Show, where we like to focus on God, family, freedom, and religion, and discuss the true principles that ensure our happiness and our success in light of current and historical events.
Welcome, welcome again. This is Alex, your host of The Alex Spicer Podcast, and we have Rob, my co-host. How you doing, Rob?
I'm okay.
Awesome. Okay, well, you're okay.
Thanks for not making it weird.
Only for you, Rob.
All right. Still got my blonde mustache.
That's not dyed. Hold on. No, okay. I know you say it's not dyed, but literally, yesterday night, the lighting, I was like, you know what? Maybe it's just the glint from the gold of your hair to your mustache. I don't know how it gets past your big nose.
But big nose? Do I have a big nose?
No.
I thought my nose was normal. Crap. Yeah.
Mick and Rob more insecure, one comment at a time.
Yeah, no, continue.
Building up his self-esteem. It looks very blonde. And when I look at it now, it looks very blonde to me.
It's because it is blonde.
No, but like, you've grown out your mustache many times. It's never looked this bright.
It's usually with a beard. My beard's red, like brownish.
I wonder, though, if part of it's because you've been in the sun more? I don't know.
I haven't. I'm in my basement all day, working on my basement.
Well, then. Okay.
What color is your mustache?
The color of my mustache
Or is, you ever grown it out enough
it
to know?
It is black.
It's black?
Black. Actually, I don't recall. It's dirty dishwater blonde.
Same as your hair?
Pretty much.
Well, that's my normal hair color too, but for some reason my facial hair is a different color. What do they say? Doth the the carpet match the dress or something?
No, I don't recognize that saying at all.
I think it's like
Does
a dirty
the carpet
phrase or
match
something.
The drapes?
I don't know.
Oh, that's awful. Okay.
Well, my mustache is different than my head. I'm going to have to look that up while I'm on my phone on me to double check. Make sure I didn't say something ultra dirty.
Okay. Let me talk about something that's really bothering me. So I think you were the one who sent this in a group chat with the guys. It says it's a flyer, digital flyer. It says back to school pride drag extravaganza.
Oh yeah, I sent that.
It says performers include current and former BYU students, and it's just a bunch of mentally ill dudes, or just purely perverse. I think if you're that perverse, though, you are mentally ill. I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean like, I need to call a spade a spade. I need to talk about these things honestly.
Sure, yeah.
This is mentally, you are mentally ill if you find this pleasurable and good. Like, it is gross. It's wrong. And yeah, it's Saturday, September 3rd. And in small text on there, it says family friendly drag show. If you think you could bring a child to this, man. You've got problems. You got problems. Even if you're so radical, you think, love and accept everyone. If you're that ignorant about the consequence of exposing your kids to things like this, if you're ignorant that these things can have negative impacts, it's just like letting your kid, you know, watch a horror film, you know, a little kid or a porno or something like that. They have negative consequences. You take them to an event like this. First of all, children, they're so pure.
It is really sad.
They're pure, they're young, they have their whole life in front of them. They are in your care for you to do the best by them.
Yeah.
I can think of fewer things more selfish than to throw your kids into something like this. Now, this that people might say that about, you know, oh, I would never take my kid to go to church because religion, I'm ruining their whole life, etc. Right? Mm-hmm. It really, your opinion on this is going to come down to your belief system, but in terms of facts, figures, and outcomes,
yeah,
you can't compare the outcome of someone who gets exposed to these sort of things and has a very high likelihood of getting molested, of being encouraged to experiment and do things that are going to hurt them. Like there's a whole list of really bad things that can come out of this. And no, I don't see a positive, right? Because you can go to the extreme of religion and say, oh, hey, you should take your kid to church because when I went to church, everyone was so judgy. It'll hurt your self-esteem and make you, you know, bind down your mind to believe in things that will hold you back. Well, sure, there can be church members you go with or even certain denominations or whatever else that will do that to you. But for the most part, I mean, that's going to the extreme example. For the most part, you have really, really good positive outcomes, very positive things that transpire in the lives of those who participate. I do not see that, and I cannot see that about drag queen stuff. I don't. And anyone who is a BYU student, man, I mean, I'm sure they're not going to reveal who they are, but if they are revealed, they should be kicked out of that school. For those of you who are not aware, I attended BYU, and if you aren't sure, if you don't know about BYU, there is an honor code you live by. And part of this honor code is you are agreeing to live by the moral standards of the school, both while you're at school, while you're on campus and off campus, and when you are at home, when you are away. It doesn't change. You are asked to sign something that says you will do that. People's words don't matter to them anymore.
Yeah.
Honoring your word doesn't matter, I suppose. This is like, it really bugs me because I'm like, my gosh, this is coming all the way to Happy Valley Central. Provo, Utah.
The bubble.
The bubble of great, religious fervor.
Maybe you should
go. This would be like, I don't know the town that Notre Dame exists in. If I did, I would say the name. But this would be like having a drag queen show for Notre Dame. You know, current and former Notre Dame students will be participating. And it'd be like, what on earth? You know, because you have these good Catholics who go, what? That's, what? No. No, 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 no. Right? I mean.
It's really sad.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the picture.
It's very sick.
Of all those.
Of all these mentally ill dudes. These sick, sick people. Look at that. There's Lexi Gold. There's Jalaya Jambalaya. And this dude doesn't even shave his beard. Gives himself dreads, has a beard, long eyelashes. Maybe that's Stacy from Studio C. No, I'm just joking. Lizzie McQueen.
He'll probably be there.
Peter Pansy. Lily Amon. Raja Blades. My gosh. Okay. Sherry Don't. My soul vomits when I'm looking at these pictures. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm just really appalled that this is coming to these areas of great religious attendance. I guess I can't even say great religious fervor anymore because this only takes place among us if we are not fervent in our religion.
Yeah.
We become passive. You are overtaken. Happens all the time, whether we are talking spiritually or in a war, you become passive, you are taken over.
Yeah, but this isn't our religion. This is
people
go to our church-funded school.
Yes, church-funded school, but also the whole town, Provo, and even Orem right next to it, they are extremely religious cities. Mm-hmm. Extremely religious people. Like the majority of the people are going to church, and they are, you know, they have a religious belief that bars them from such evil activity. So this is what happens when your fervor declines. You do not kick out these perversions. That's important for us to get rid of these perversions. I heard a really good statement in it from Michael Knowles. I'm going to butcher it, but it brought a really good thing to mind. So he had mentioned how cancel culture, he's like, cancel culture is only bad because it's being used the wrong way. Cancel culture has always been around, and it used to be used in the right way. We used to cancel things that were bad and promote things that were good. Now we cancel things that are good and promote things that are bad. And that when he said that, I realized, you know, that's true. Everything, most everything in life is a tool, right? Like all these different methods of going about and living and participating in activities, they are all tools, and they can be used for good or for evil. Most things can be used for good or for evil. And we need to exercise all these tools for good. We need to exercise our religion for good. And that does mean to shun evil, to stop it from happening amongst you, to call these people to repentance, to help them feel the love of Christ so they want to change.
Mm-hmm.
But not to be permissive and say, well, you know, they have a different life choice.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not how Christ works. Some stupid person was trolling on TikTok. Did I tell you about this? Mm-mm. I shared a video on TikTok about how I was duetting this lady. She says, you know, Christ was not there to confirm people's identities and behaviors. He was there to call them to repentance, to a different way of life, to a happier state of being and living. And this one guy was like, and basically the arguments going back and forth, I was just saying, you know what, this is true because Christ, because he was like, well, he hung out with this, you know, all the sinners, the prostitutes and stuff. I said, yeah, but he never once said, sup, prostitutes, love what you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
He never once hung out with them and like, yeah, my sluts, how's it going? Yeah, God loves you. Man, I wish you wouldn't do that, but this is your life choice. I don't see Christ doing that at all. In fact, he never did.
Yeah.
He hung around those who were sinful to call them to repentance. And he would go to those who were very low because generally they are humble enough to receive his word and to change.
Yeah.
You know, I know as a personal from personal experience as a missionary, I would knock on doors of millionaires. There's this giant neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And all these were mansions, all of them. And we knock on doors and people just didn't care because for them, there's no humility. They have everything in their life that they want or need. They don't think deeply about things. They have ways to hide to ignore the gnawing and the egging in their heart the aching in their heart. Excuse me, that they want something more and deeper.
Yeah.
Whereas people who can be poor financially or at least poor very spiritually, they'll hit walls and they hit rock bottom.
That is interesting.
And then they're willing to change, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a surprise. I mean, Christ did convert some Sadducees and Pharisees. Mm. Some of them, but the majority of them rejected him. Why? Well, they had no humility.
Mm-hmm.
We need to approach people with the same humility, but same firmness of truth. Christ never once went back on his commandments. We need to approach this and get rid of it. This is not right. This is not okay. And even though America's culture is going down the toilet on a turd boat,
yeah.
Our communities don't have to. We can be the center of change and fight back against it.
I was reading this. It says Kiwanis Park. I thought this was going to be like a private event, like at an actual club or something, but it says Kiwanis Park, and it's a festival 10 to 8, and the show starts at 6. So what the heck is this festival that has...
Isn't it bad that we just gave away the entire location and time?
Well, if you're going to go, you should protest it.
I mean, honestly.
With a big sign that says you should know better.
Well, going back to the cancel culture thing, I think it actually would be really good of us to show up with signs saying, oh, this is wrong.
Yeah.
I don't see anything wrong with that, right? People pick at good things. We need to pick at the bad things. Yeah. People think shame is a bad thing. No, shame is a wonderful thing. It really will prevent people from going down dark paths.
Yeah, and
shame can be good for, you know, used for good, right? All these things can be used for good and for bad. No fat shaming. No, actually, we need to have shame around mistreating our bodies. We need to have shame around trying to pretend we're a different gender, around being mentally ill.
Well, as bad as shame is, and it seems like shame's going to exist in any capacity. Oh, you're
it'll never
fit
go away.
In shape? well, that's, you're not fat like me, and fat's beautiful now. You know, it's like shame will always exist no matter what the cultural norm is. And I think it, then that being said, we have to make sure that the healthy cultural norms are the norm. And they're flipping right now. You know, fat is beauty now. Change your gender, that's beauty. Be gay, that's beauty. And yeah, I don't know. I never really thought much about that. But yeah, maybe...
Well,
it, we need to shame people back into it.
It's a
we
tool
need to start using the word gay and faggot more. Just kidding.
I actually agree. I think that's what we use all the time growing up. I think we need to allow people to have crass humor.
Oh, yeah?
Because, I mean, you make fun of things because they're weird. They're outlandish. They're crazy. It's so easy to make fun of Democrats. SNL hardly does it, but when they do, it's so hilarious because they are weird, outlandish. It's not just because they're the main norm now, mm-hmm. right? But you know, I agree that I think that you know we should have the openness to make fun of things. And but going back to the idea that everything is a tool, everything is a tool, and you're right, shame will never go away. But you notice this is always the tactic of evil. Progressives, you know, whatever form they're in, fascists, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It is to control the way people respond to things and say, no, what you're doing is wrong. You know, we need to have a shame-free society, an open love society. And then what do? They take the existing tool that we let go of.
Yeah, okay, no more shame.
Oh, no more shaming, no more hatred for evil. And then they go, sweet. Now, here's what we now pronounce as beautiful, good, and worthy of love.
Yeah.
Thank you for this cudgel of shame and hate. I'm now going to make sure everyone hates righteousness. They hate anything about God, religion, heteronormity, right? All that crap.
Yeah, that is so interesting.
It never goes away. That's why I talk about my book. I talk about how moral relativism was introduced especially, really, really strongly, especially into the school systems too, in the early 2000s, late 90s, and it was becoming more and more of a thing where they say, no, like, you can't say what is right and wrong. You know, what if someone else believes something different? They created cultural or moral relativism.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about that. I say, well, that was the perfect tactic in order to get people to be disengaged, in order to get people to be disarmed. And to put it visually, they let go of the weapon that defends our culture from evil. They are disarmed. They go, oh, I guess, yeah, how do I combat that? I don't really believe that, but I don't know how to combat that. It's like, my gosh, think about it slightly deeper than 2 seconds and then pick back up your sword and go, to, you know, start swinging. But that's not what happened. Mm-hmm. We're all trying to be, they got me in the heart because they said I'm not being loving and accepting. Ooh, no. Right?
Yeah, that sounded like a girl. That was good. Wait, do the
maybe,
rest.
Maybe I could attend this drag thing.
You should, and then destroy it from the inside out. Do the rest
they
of it.
Destroy me from do the rest inside of the out.
That's right.
Sorry, this took a really awful turn.
Do the rest of the podcast with that voice.
No, I'd rather kill myself.
But I mean, it's weird because it's like,
well, sorry.
If as a general society, that shame thing seems good, but as an individual, it seems like we shouldn't shame anybody, but love them, and I don't know. It just almost feels like a manipulation of what righteous love is. It's like, I love you so much. Don't say that. You're beautiful. So beautiful that we accept you and we embrace you and you should be this. And then it just flips into like, I love you so much that you should chop yourself up.
Yeah. So because we don't live in a state of anarchy, meaning that we are constantly in a conflict of saying, no, this is the boundary line. No, that's the boundary line. This is what we define as proper territory and structure for society. No, we say it's this side, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a power struggle. By the fact that you establish any sort of boundary line means that you will, by default, establish something as bad and worthy of distaste,
mm-hmm.
shunning, etc., right? Mm-hmm. That is a natural consequence because if you don't, and literally everything can be acceptable, that's the caveat here is we don't live in that way now. Everything was never acceptable. It was really just accept our evil ways. Now everything Christian and religious is evil, right? Mm-hmm. So by creating the boundary lines at all, you are creating the dark side of human behavior, which is actually necessary. So going back to the book, though, I'm sorry, I'm a bit long winded here, but what I was trying to get to is the book I wrote.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Lord of the Rings.
Talking about moral relativism, how it disarmed people. Mm-hmm. That then allowed them to introduce a new, evil people to introduce a new form of morality, mm-hmm. which was progressivism. They say, moral relativism! And we go, oh, geez, I'm not sure how to respond. I don't want to look like a bigot. Mm-hmm. And then they go, thank you for letting go of your sword. There you go. Now you're on the defense.
So they're really
we're on the offense, and we're more, you know, like, and we have all the weapons. Run, run, sissy boy, run.
Do you think they, whoever they are aware
Democrats?
Aware of all this? Like, I can't, like, the Democrat
Republicans?
People I know are not this diabolical where they know that, oh, moral relativism, like, now ball's in my court. I don't think they think this through that far. So who are they who know this?
Well, let me just address the idea that they don't think this far or this way. Mm-hmm. I don't care, and I don't expect them to. I share this with people so they can truly break down and use their brains to see what is happening. Because what happens is people get caught off guard, and in their heart they feel, oh, that's not right. But thing is, because they can't quite see the full picture, they don't understand it. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to frame it into a context that makes sense to them. They do not act because they're, at least, if anything, they're blindsided. Mm-hmm. So they don't act. And by not acting, you enable evil to take its course and to control us. Anyone who follows the agenda that I've been talking about, mm-hmm. moral relativism, not progressivism, as you discussed, talking about allowing kids to cut themselves up, right? Anyone who participates in those things and pushes these ideas, this ideology upon people, whether they are school teachers, professors, politicians, radio show hosts, I don't care who they are. Those are the people I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to think about it in this way. They just have to participate. For Nazis to turn in their Jewish neighbors and send them to concentration camps to die. They didn't have to think about, like, oh, my Jewish accent wrong. I'm not sure.
They're British.
Anyone not American is British.
thanks. You called me German last week. So
fine,
I guess
I'm
British.
If I had to do a German accent. Oh, I wonder what those Jews over there are doing.
Oh my gosh.
Let's cause this Gestapo. Yes, take some away. They're not thinking to themselves that, oh, I'm playing into the clutches of evil. This leads to that and this leads to that. They get caught up in the hype, in the new wave of morality, mm-hmm. that this is the right way of thinking. That's why people can be so dumb and they go, I believe in not that we should have limits on freedom of speech because hate speech is evil. And then they will still call you a Nazi for wanting all forms of speech. And they go, even though it's like, hey, if you knew anything about history, you would know the Nazis tried suppressing people's freedom of speech. They didn't like anyone to say anything. But yet you think we're Nazi because we're willing to say hurtful things. Nazis were, they were of the idea that we can say what we want to say, but if you try to say anything that opposes us,
Right.
So people don't, but they don't think that way, right? They will still say, no, you're the evil one.
It's that Michael Knowles quote. Were you going to say this earlier? You mentioned him. He mentioned some quote that some other guy said, but he says, there's a thought that stops all thought, and that thought should be stopped. Which is what Marxism or communism, you know. It's the thought that stops all thought, so mm-hmm. and that thought should be stopped. It's so worse. It's stopping us from.
Yeah. It is communism. It is tyrannical rule. The thought that stops all thought, meaning they
it's
are
redefining truth.
They're controlling the way you think. You're not allowed to think that way. You're mm-hmm. not allowed to like or dislike these things. Like you have to. Do what we think. No thinking. You collectivism. No individualism. No freedom. No. You are part of a group. Group identity. You are not outside this group. Mm-hmm. Do as we say.
Yeah, he was mentioning how that should apply to schools, how we should teach everything except for that thought that stops all thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. But then you'd have to fire almost all teachers.
Yeah, like every university teacher.
Fire the teachers that stop all teaching.
It's funny how it's all coming out of universities.
Yeah, no, it really is.
And now it's coming for your kindergartners. You know.
Well, and the dumb thing is you have parents who will still send their kids to university. And the kids go off to the university with the expectation that they're going to be instructed by someone who's wiser and smarter than them, mm-hmm. and they must learn and follow this individual. And their parents should have, if they're going to send them to a university, the parents need to at least say to the kid, by the way, your professors are going to lie to you and indoctrinate you in this way. Mm-hmm. Beware of these things. And also, if they say this, or that, those are lies.
And we're gonna pay them to do that.
I know, right? It's like, but then the more you think you have to about how you have to equip your child to deal with that, mm-hmm. the more it's like, oh gee, could I spend my money better in a different place? Send them to Hillsdale College. Well, that's a better place, right? Yeah. Like a better university. I don't want my kids going to Brigham Young University. BYU sucks.
Didn't when you went.
It was starting to suck pretty bad by the time I quit.
Really?
Yeah, I was arguing with my professors about BS revisionist history.
I want to hear.
Racist history.
Tell me a
little anecdote. I've already shared this on multiple podcasts. Okay, anecdotally. It's not anecdotally. It is my experience.
No, that's
Abbreviatedly. No, anecdotally means I'm...
sharing a short story. Right? I don't have my phone on me. Otherwise, I'd look this up. Anyways, let's hear the story.
Usually, anecdotally applies to non-first-person accounts. Mm-hmm. This is a first-person account. All right. This is a primary source, not a secondary or tertiary source.
All right. Mr. Webster.
I had to take there's a whole line of classes you can choose from in order to pass your general ed requirements. I was taking one about early colonial American art. And so it's a humanities class. We're taking it, learning about the different type of arts that they would use for painting or the architecture. And it was really cool to also learn some of the histories behind it and stuff. There were some neat, really neat things.
Wait, what century did you say? Or what?
It's colonial Americanism.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But then we start talking about how the founding fathers were racist.
Really?
And like me and several other kids, but I think I was definitely the most outspoken. Mm-hmm. And I had to raise my hand. I'd be like, what about this? Why is it suddenly that these people are bad when they established a country specifically to try to make all people free? Even though they couldn't accomplish that in the beginning, they at least laid the framework for it. Specifically, they wanted to get rid of slavery. I mean, you have a lot of founding fathers who wanted it to end, including those who owned slaves. They didn't like it.
Yeah.
And they didn't want it. I remember them going off about that. Well, it was just like he said, the professor made a comment at one point. And he said, well, you know, people have these arguments about, you know, the founding fathers, maybe they want to get rid of slavery and stuff. And they didn't treat their slaves very badly. And he said, but then I once had a student of color relate to me that's kind of like saying, well, this guy was a rapist, but he was a very nice rapist. He didn't rape very badly. It's like, mm-hmm. no, there's a very big difference between antebellum Southern slavery, which happened mm-hmm. later in the 1800s, and then the slavery that happened in the 1700s. Because by the time you started getting into the 1800s, you had these people who owned slaves who had to work, they had to start working harder and harder to suppress the idea, to supplant this concept that all men are created equal. Mm-hmm. So they had to put more effort into saying, no, these black people that we have as slaves, they're not actually human. They don't have human rights. We should own them as property and should treat them any way we want to, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's when they would do demeaning things. They would hobble them. They would whip them. They started really mistreating them in order to establish more strongly these people are not human. That's not how they were treated in the 1700s. I'm not justifying slavery. I'm just bringing out contrasts that are very important to understand.
It was a cultural norm to have slaves too. So
depending on where in the colonies you were living, right?
For a while, yeah.
And here's the thing, right? So there were differences in how slaves are treated, but also in the viewpoint of the slave owners. You have people, some not just founding fathers, but colonists, who own slaves, and they would rather get rid of slaves, but they just felt morally too weak to do so. Or they are bound by law to keep their slaves, and that if they were to give up their slaves, they would put their slaves in an even worse situation. So, for example, you were not allowed, like there were laws passed in Virginia that you couldn't sell slaves as family. So like if you sell a slave, like you have to be able to sell them individually and anyone can take them anywhere. Mm. Well, these slaves would get married and have families. And so, crap, like compassionate people like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson didn't want to sell their slaves and just give them away because they'd have to sell them and they couldn't let them be sold off somewhere as families. So they would keep them because these people had their own families with them.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they didn't have their freedom and that haunted them. But at the same time, no one has any idea where the world was coming from. We look at our world today and we go, yeah, look at the bad things of the past. How awful. It's like, do you realize that until America was made, the entire world used slavery.
Yeah.
The entire world was killing each other.
Yeah.
Was murdering each other. No freedom of speech. What? You're a Protestant, not a Catholic?
Yeah.
Time to slit your throat. Let's put him in the prison, right? It's like...
Well, white people were slaves.
Yeah, white people
slaves
were...
Slaves existed in every color.
Black people owned slaves.
Right.
It didn't matter, right? It was a worldwide commonality.
Right.
And then America came along and said, well, also like freedom in general, right? America came along and said, you know what? I think we have the right culture, the right Christian values. People are living them in such a way that we can peacefully coexist and therefore have a nation by the people and for the people. Because if you can't peacefully coexist, you do need a tyrant to rule you. You do. Like, that is one of the things that proves that you need to be ruled, is that you can, if you cannot peacefully coexist.
Rule yourself.
Right? Huh. Yeah, you cannot be self-governing. Mm. Right?
That's interesting.
So they said, okay, well, we believe that we have a people who are willing, who can be self-governing. So let's make a government by the people for the people. And now let's make sure it tries to account for all the human frailties that exist. And many founding fathers wanted to get rid of slavery as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to think about like one world-changing phenomenon at a time. Mm-hmm. Phenomenon at a time. It's like, okay, you wanted them to get rid of slavery as well. Well, they couldn't unify as a colony. As sad as that is, they couldn't. But at the same time, the world did not know anti-slavery. That was a foreign concept. That didn't exist at all. And for us to be like, those dang founding fathers, they should have created the most unique, strange, untested, untried government of all time and freed all the slaves. It's like, okay, but then they never would have existed as a country. Because not all the colonies would have joined. And then it would have been like Europe. We have these warring nations against each other. It is a miracle America is the way it is. Because if they didn't do that, they said, fine, screw you guys. We're going to have no slavery and a freedom by the people for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And the South would have been like, well, then we are the Southern United States of America, right? Before the Civil War even took place.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. You have Europe 2.0.
Hmm.
And the Founding Fathers knew, because they knew European history and world history, that leads to much bloodshed. Conflict. I mean, my gosh, how many European nations warred against each other? All of them. All the time. And yet we are so quick to criticize. I think the phrase, or someone might have called it parallelism, where we try to juxtapose our moral way of thinking and our understanding to a time period that is so vastly different, but we pretend as though they are parallel to us, as though they should, they have the same moral standards as us. Therefore, we can judge them the same.
Uh-huh.
And that's not true. Sorry. Going off on a long tangent there. Where was I going with all
this? Wasn't there like a text chain?
Did you want to show me? Okay. So, this drag queen stuff, kind of going crazy
here. That's this Saturday. Man, maybe we should check it out. We come back.
Okay, but you need to say that more carefully because you say it like we're like, maybe we should check it out. I'm like, Rob, why are you putting on eyeliner? No, I'm not. Rob, where'd this dress come from? I go by Jillian now.
Gross. Don't do that voice again. No.
Okay. Before I read the thread that goes on here. It's not actually here. It's about a different thread I'm going to jump to. Let me just say that all the concepts we're talking about, and going to the idea that the founding fathers believed the people were willing to self-govern, coexist, because they had these Judeo-Christian principles that they knew if people actually followed them and didn't corrupt them, they created peace, like the peace they were enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
And that means they followed roughly the same sort of God. People didn't have to believe in God the same way, but they needed to have a moral... What's the word I'm looking for?
Compass.
They needed to have moral systems that were compatible. And if you're going to have a moral system that is compatible, that means you have to have a viewpoint of God, at least in a degree that that whatever your highest moral authority, which that's what God represents, your highest moral authority,
mm-hmm.
it instructs you to live peacefully with each other and not suppress other people, oppress other people. I mean, that's why radical forms of religion cannot peacefully coexist, because they go, well, my God says I must put you under, you know, you must be my slave unless you convert to my religion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if people believe that and they act on that, then they don't belong in America. We don't want them here, because then we can't have a government that's peaceful. Or you have to have people who are willing to stick a... point. Anyways, so let me go to this thread, because this is actually pretty funny.
You clicked out of it.
Did I? Oh, you're right. I was out of there. Okay, so we were talking about this rapper named Maj Torre, or Torre. I think it's Torre or Tour. He's kind of, I've been around him. I've seen him speak at conferences. He's a bit radical. He's very extreme, I would say. I think he's a bit racist towards white people too. But regardless,
is this like at the Freedom Fest you go to?
Yeah,
you've seen him there.
Yeah, I've seen him there. He was at the last one last year, and then he was at this one this year. I didn't watch him speak this year, but I saw him at the last one. Regardless, I was talking to some friends of ours, Ben and Jerry. And Ben was saying, he said, just reading about him, he criticizes BLM Inc. for money laundering in black communities and the Dem Party, and also the Dem Party, though he agrees with BLM as a truth. You know, it's like, okay, that's where I'm like, yeah, he's not quite there. He really does believe in systemic racism. Okay. Here was the really cool thing that Ben brought up. You want to read that? You be Ben, I'll be Jerry, and myself. I'll do Jerry in a different voice.
The Cockney accent? Hello, good night. Hey, governor. So I'm that guy. Okay. He does sound somewhat radical, you're right, and he seems intent on framing modern gun control as racist, since it largely was in colonial era. Plenty of laws barring blacks from owning guns and creating insurrections. Oh man, I am running with this with my progressive pals. Gun control is systemically racist.
And then he has this little gif. What does it show?
Oh,
describe
like,
it.
Like a little girl cheering with a little one of those
party blowers
and confetti.
And by the way, Ben here goes to works at a university and stuff, so he's surrounded by progressives. But I love that. He's like, oh, framing modern gun control as racist since it came about in the colonial era.
That's like, what?
My response is, ha, 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 yes! keep going.
What was it?
Keep reading.
Disrupts their comfort and certainty in the gun's bad narrative and can dislodge some of their knee-jerk misplaced trust in government to act morally, which they all think now.
I wish I could be there to watch them react.
So wait, he's actually telling this to people?
He's saying he's gonna start using this from that black rapper. He's gonna use that argument to share with him and be like, why do you want gun control? Don't you realize gun control is racist?
Oh, okay.
And then when in response to me saying, I wish I could watch them react, he sent some GIFs. So if you can't see it, the first one is this cat going, it's like, its eyes are getting huge, going, like, what? And then, and he says, that's their initial response. Sorry, you read that.
Yeah, their initial response.
And then the next picture, sweating and crying and confused look.
Yeah, confused crying next, because worldview challenged and possibly false.
Next GIF, this girl is ugly crying.
And weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth at accepting their guilt and privilege forever wanting to control guns.
And the last one is this, like, almost rainbow flag is short of color. This guy with dyed blonde hair and piercings crying a river.
And the project, their infantile and confused rage in agitprop
art.
Art. Okay.
This is so accurate. This is me responding. So accurate and hilarious all at the same time. It's like they're mentally ill. Mm. I'm kind of mean. What was the GIF you sent?
This is what democracy looks like. Just a protest.
And then read Ben's message.
Then they maintain their gun control ideology because it's evidence that the system was racist and oppressive toward blacks. And such a systemically bad system just has to go, so no mo guns.
One more, then keep going. Yeah.
It's amazing what can be advocated when you argue with the conclusion first. Guns bad if wielded by cops and whites. AR-15 bad because it looks scary, and Biden says so. Never mind, handguns used in overwhelming a majority of gun crimes and so on.
Then Jerry says, isn't it great to be inconsistent and stupid? Now, this was my it made me think about something, and this was my response to them. I said, you have to read this next one before I read my response from Ben.
Right. He says, it's not great, it's liberating. The government won't take our freedom and think it owns our freedoms. We are all equally free when equally disposed of Second Amendment, free from guns, yay.
And then interesting, just commenting here, says, the government won't take our freedoms and it thinks it owns our freedoms. I mean, but that's what progressives believe, right? And the way he describes them responding to learning, oh wait, gun control was a racist thing? It stems from racism, right? And showing them kind of, it looked to me like a bastardized version of the repentance process. Where you go, oh, and you realize you thought wrong, and you did wrong, and you have to change your heart, and you want to change it, right? But it's like mentally ill, though, because to them, it sends them spiraling downwards into trying to control everyone else and destroying the society, the wrong right?
direction.
Whereas opposed to true repentance unto the Lord leads you to self-reflect, transform and change and become a better person and to serve society. Anyways, I'm bringing that up because aligns with my comment that I respond here. I said, if government is your God, then yeah, it makes total sense that, your rights come from and to behave this way. We regard Heavenly Father as our God and therefore the source of our freedoms, and we do attribute altruistic loving attributes to Him. So we trust Him and believe others can do the same, and it will instill a happy, peaceful society that is unoppressive. You see how we think the exact same, but about different gods? Government is their highest moral authority. God is ours. Does that make sense to you?
Sure.
Liar. No. Think about it. A progressive also believes that if we were to trust the government, government is their God. And they believe government to be altruistic and even loving. And they trust and believe that everyone else can and should do the same, and it will also produce a peaceful, happy, and unoppressive society. Right? We think the exact same things, but our outcomes will be vastly different because what they believe will not lead to that. What we believe does. We have historical evidence that proves so. We have historical evidence that what they believe leads to mass murder. So it's interesting that we will believe the exact same things, but We believe in different gods. So it's about different gods. And that's why, God matters. God truly matters. And believing in the right God matters the most. Right? Like, we pretend like God is dead. God's not dead. We need God more than ever. And people are desperately want God in their life. And when they cannot find a source of truth, real truth, not my truth, your truth, that's BS. That's just...
Anyways,
when we can't find it, we will look for it elsewhere. We're going to fill this hole in our life with something. So yeah, just recognize that we're very similar to progressives, to these people who are radically in the wrong way, that are trying to lead us down this path of tyranny, down this path of that always leads to mass murder and oppression.
Yeah.
We believe the same things, but one, you know, but it's just that, like, one is based in reality and true principles that elevate and transcend human behaviors, transcend or cause, allow human beings to transcend, while the other is vicious, mean, and plays to the most vile of human tendencies. Doesn't transcend, brings you lower, makes you more animalistic. I mean, we're no better than animals if we are controlled like an animal, right?
That's a good point.
So yeah, that was the thought there. Just wanted to share that. Any closing thoughts, Rob? By the way, why didn't you read his in a Cockney accent?
I don't do accents.
You should. I should have done a Scottish accent.
Yeah. Now I'm craving ice cream. Ben and Jerry.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, thank you so much for listening to The Alex Spicer Show. Please, 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 please share this with someone. I know that there's something in here that could have helped someone. Mm-hmm. Even if share it with your spouse. Maybe your spouse isn't that much into... politics, but I'm not trying to be all about politics. I'm trying to be about truth, religion, principles, culture. But these all intertwine with politics because politics is attacking everything. Share it with someone. Help them feel not alone and see the truth here. Also, if you want to send in a question, email me at contact@alexspicer.com. I will respond to you, and I'm happy to take some suggestions. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. Please like, subscribe, leave a review. Reviews help us rise through the algorithm the fastest to be heard by other people. So please leave us a 5-star review and live free until next time.